Chapter 7. Louis Pasteur's Quest for Vaccine Glory. During the 18th century, farmers in Europe recorded their observations of a disease that struck domesticated poultry with a mortality rate of up to 20%. Because the main symptom was severe diarrhea, the malady came to be known as foul cholera. In 1879, Professor Louis Pasteur received a bacterial sample from Jean-Joseph Henri Toussaint, a professor at the Toulouse Veterinary College, who had long studied the disease. Pasteur grew the bacterium in pure cell culture and published a description of the pathogen, which resulted in it being named in his honor, that is, Pasteurella multocida. It wouldn't be the first time that Pasteur conspicuously benefited from Toussaint's research. Pasteur injected chickens with this bacterium, which invariably caused them to fall ill. In December 1880, he declared to the French Academy of Sciences that he was developing a vaccine against foul cholera, though he did not disclose his methods. 16 years later, Émile Duclos published a celebrated biography of Pasteur in which he related that Pasteur had accidentally discovered how to make an attenuated foul cholera vaccine after leaving a virulent culture on his lab bench during a vacation to the south of France. Upon his return, he observed that the culture had dried out. As an experiment, he inoculated chickens with the desiccated culture, then challenged them with the virulent bacteria, and voila, the chickens did not fall ill with avian cholera. From this accidental discovery, Pasteur later claimed to derive his insight that it was possible to attenuate all pathogens with atmospheric oxygen. To this day, authors of medical literature frequently claim that Pasteur's discovery of the vaccine against foul cholera can be considered as the birth of immunology. In fact, the story is a myth. In 1985, the Pasteur scholar Antonio Cadidou revealed that not Pasteur, but his lab assistant, Émile Roux, had conducted deliberate lab experiments to create an attenuated foul cholera vaccine. And though the celebratory literature on Pasteur's vaccine work rarely, if ever, mentions it, no one outside of Pasteur's lab was ever able to duplicate his procedure, which he presented in a talk 8 months later, for making an air-attenuated cholera vaccine. To this day, vaccinating poultry against foul cholera is a complicated and often fruitless enterprise because the Pasteurella multocida bacteria has 16 known somatic serotypes. For a vaccine to work, it must identically match the strain causing any given infection. Pasteur's declaration to the French Academy was therefore highly misleading. Instead of disclosing the reality of the foul cholera vaccine to the Academy, Pasteur gave the impression he was still refining it and would communicate about it later. Instead of doing that, he announced the following spring that he was focusing on a vaccine for anthrax. During the year 1880, Émile Roux and Charles Chambellon worked on vaccines for foul cholera and anthrax. Both efforts were hindered by Pasteur's insistence that the best method for attenuating germs was exposing them to atmospheric oxygen. As they discovered, there was just no way, using air, to obtain the correct balance between virulence and immunogenicity. If the pathogen was too weak, it wouldn't induce immunity. If it was too virulent, it would kill the vaccinated animals. Chambellon and Roux found greater promise in attenuating bacteria using antiseptic chemicals. However, Pasteur did not approve of this approach and commanded them not to publish anything until you find the attenuation of the bacterium by oxygen. Look for it. They were still looking in April 1881 when Pasteur abruptly announced that he'd just accepted a challenge by Charles-Paul-Marie Moreau, Baron de la Rochette, who was president of the Society of Agriculture of Moulin. As the Baron put it, "We put at your disposal 60 sheep. 10 will not undergo any treatment. 25 will be vaccinated. 25 will not. After 12 days, we will challenge the 25 vaccinated sheep with virulent anthrax, as well as the 25 who did not receive a vaccine. Then we will see the results." Chamberlain and Roux were not prepared, but Pasteur was nothing if not bold. The event was highly publicized, with multiple French officials as well as French and English journalists attending, and was carried out on the farm of veterinarian Joseph Hippolyte Rossignol in Pouilly-le-Fort, about 55 miles southeast of Paris. The first part of the experiment was performed at Pouilly-le-Fort on May 5th, 1881, with goats and cows added to the sheep. A booster was administered to the vaccinated group 12 days later, and then, on May 31st, virulent anthrax was injected into the vaccinated and control groups. On June 2nd, the observers of the initial vaccination returned to Pouilly-le-Fort and saw for themselves that the vaccinated sheep were all in good shape, while the control animals were all dead or dying. Almost all of the vaccinated and control cattle survived the challenge. Baron de la Rochette and Dr. Rossignol proclaimed Pasteur's triumph over anthrax. Pasteur declared his triumph to the Academy of Science on June 13th. However, as Pasteur's critical biographer Gerald L. Geisen noted over a century later, conspicuously absent from this triumphant address of 13 June was any specific description of the vaccine responsible for the success at Pouilly-le-Fort. Pasteur merely noted that each of the vaccinated animals had been inoculated on 5 May with 5 drops of an attenuated anthrax virus, and then again on 17 May with a second anthrax virus, also attenuated but more virulent than the preceding. On August 8, 1881, Pasteur gave a celebrated talk to the 7th International Medical Conference in London, in which he presented the results of his recent experiment at Pouilly-le-Fort, thereby promoting the concept of attenuating, from the Latin attenuat, made slender, an infectious disease pathogen that would induce immunity without making the vaccine recipient ill. While cowpox seemed to be a naturally attenuated form of smallpox, Pasteur proposed that all pathogens could be weakened in the lab to achieve the same effect. He concluded his talk with the following remarks. "I have just presented to you the vaccination of a disease perhaps more terrible for domestic animals than smallpox is for man. I hereby give the term vaccination an enlarged meaning that I hope science will consecrate as an homage to the merit and immense services rendered by one of the greatest men of England, your Jenner. What joy for me to glorify this immortal name on the very soil of the noble and hospitable city of London." Paying this tribute to Jenner was, for Pasteur, cleverly self-serving in two ways. First, it conveyed to the audience, an assembly of the most prominent medical men in Europe, including Pasteur's rival, Robert Koch, that his attenuated anthrax inoculation was the direct successor to Jenner's smallpox vaccine. Secondly, the apparent magnanimity of Pasteur's tribute burnished his international reputation as a disinterested man of science, thereby disguising a ruthless and deceptive streak in his character. Like Jenner, Pasteur has been the subject of many hagiographies. While Jenner is generally credited as the inventor of the first vaccine, overlooking the earlier contributions of John Fuster and Benjamin Jesty, Pasteur is generally credited with applying modern scientific principles and methods to the discipline of vaccinology. However, though undoubtedly talented and industrious, Pasteur attained much of his glory by taking credit for the work of others and publishing their insights as his own. What few noticed or cared to notice was that, almost an entire year before Pasteur's celebrated anthrax experiment, the French veterinarian Jean-Joseph Henri Toussaint had successfully performed essentially the same vaccination experiment at the Alfort Veterinary School in Vincennes, with 22 animals surviving the virulent anthrax challenge. In his published account of the experiment, Toussaint stated that he'd used carbolic acid, phenol, to attenuate the anthrax bacteria for the vaccine. To the Academy and to the International Medical Conference, Pasteur claimed he had attenuated anthrax by exposing it to air, apparently not wanting to say anything that would credit Robert Koch, who discovered the anthrax bacillus in 1876 and was present at the conference in London. Pasteur referred to anthrax as a virus, in the old sense of the word, meaning a poison that is contagious. The following is a direct translation from his talk in French. You will see shortly the practical importance of the result, but at the moment what especially interests us is to note that we have here the proof that we are in possession of a general method of preparation of virus vaccines based on the action of the air's oxygen, that is to say, of a cosmic force that is exerted everywhere on the globe's surface. This was a bold deception, for in fact, though he kept it to himself, his team had ripped off Toussaint's attenuation method using an antiseptic. Toussaint had used phenol. Pasteur's team used potassium dichromate. What was Pasteur's motive for misleading the International Medical Conference with his statement that we are in possession of a general method of preparation of virus vaccines based on the action of the air's oxygen? Was he so confident his team would eventually figure out the method that he could, for PR purposes, state they'd already done it? Considering this deception, it is no wonder that Pasteur did not try to patent his attenuated anthrax vaccine, which would have required revealing his production method. Instead, he simply invoked his authority and prestige to create a de facto monopoly on production and distribution of the vaccine. Pasteur repeatedly refused to disclose his formula and production technique to foreign laboratories, insisting that he needed to maintain strict quality control. He also claimed that his commercial company's monopoly was crucial for maintaining the financial independence of the Institut Pasteur. Had Toussaint not been afflicted with a degenerative nerve disease in 1881, the year in which Pasteur conducted his celebrated experiment using Toussaint's method, it seems likely the veterinarian would have challenged Pasteur's de facto monopoly. Sadly, the young man's health steadily declined, and he died 9 years later at the age of 43. Pasteur never gave him credit. Pasteur's nephew, bacteriologist Adrien Loire, knew about Toussaint's work, which he documented in a 1938 paper, A l'ombre de Pasteur, In the Shadow of Pasteur. While filching Toussaint's technique was a shabby trick, another element of chicanery was the fact that Pasteur's attenuated anthrax vaccine often killed the animals it was designed to protect. Because Pasteur and his team wished to maintain the illusion that it was possible to attenuate anthrax and other pathogens using atmospheric oxygen, they never revealed how difficult it was, even using chemical attenuation, to obtain the correct balance between virulence and immunogenicity. Again, if the pathogen was too weak, it wouldn't induce immunity. If it was too virulent, it would kill the vaccinated animals. In the 1930s, the Austrian-South African immunologist Max Stirner created a more reliable, less dangerous anthrax vaccine for livestock. However, As the listener will hear in the final section of this book about vaccines and biowarfare, an unquestionably safe and effective anthrax vaccine for humans has never been developed. Though this didn't stop the U.S. Armed Forces from mandating anthrax vaccination for service personnel.